So I hope in some way that passage from last Sunday's gospel is somehow still resonating within us, where Jesus posed those great questions to his disciples about the nature of his identity. When he said, "Who do people say that I am?" And then he asked them directly, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Simon said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the reward for this, Jesus says, "You are Peter," which means you are a rock. "And on this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail. And you have the keys to the kingdom." So those great foundational principles of the papacy and the indefectibility of the church, given under the leadership of St. Peter. What a great moment in his life that must have been. Maybe he realized the full weight of what Christ was saying, maybe not. But he was certainly, we can say, riding high in that moment. And it's been a week delay for us, but the passage that we just heard continues directly from that. So Jesus has just called him Peter, the rock, given him the keys to the kingdom. And then now this: "You are Satan. You are an obstacle to me. Get behind me." Like Charles Dickens said, "The best of times and the worst of times. You are Satan." Can you imagine being called that by Jesus? Especially when he just gave you the keys to the kingdom and now he's calling you Satan. But why did he do that? What did Peter say that caused Jesus to call him Satan? He tried to thwart God's will. He heard about the necessity of the crucifixion, the passion, the death of Jesus, and Peter wanted no part in it. Maybe he did realize his role as the prime minister in this new kingdom, and he was going to be the bodyguard of Jesus. And there's no way anyone's going to hurt you, much less kill you. Not on my watch. God forbid, Lord, this will never happen. Get behind me, Satan. When Peter last week called him Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, "You didn't get this because of human reason, but from the inspiration from my heavenly Father. You're thinking with God's mind." And what happened today? You're thinking like man. You're thinking like a human being. You're not thinking like God does. Get behind me, Satan. How often do we, when faced with the reality of the sufferings in our life, try to tell God there's a better way? Okay? "This suffering that I'm going through is not your will. There's a different way you can do this, God. Let me show you. Let me help you, God." How often do we deny the necessity of the cross in our life? Because Jesus went on to say that if anyone wants to be my disciple, not if you want to be part of the VIP club and if you want your name in the calendar with a little fancy prayer card, but if anyone wants to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow after me. This high cost of discipleship. It requires a radical commitment. So to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, this instrument of death, is necessary for us. So why do we so often recoil against it? Why do we try to build lives of comfort and convenience? Avoiding suffering at any cost. How many millions of dollars are spent in our country trying to avoid suffering? How many lives are ended out of a care for the elderly? We want to put them out of their suffering. How many babies are killed in a womb because we don't want that mother to suffer? taking the easy way out? How many tests are cheated on? How many spouses are cheated on? Taking the easy way out, not willing to deal with the suffering that life necessarily throws our way. Get behind me, Satan, is Christ's response to our desire to not suffer, to take the easy way, to find the shortcut. It's the same experience Jesus had in the desert at the beginning of his public ministry when the devil was tempting him to take the easy way, take the shortcut to his kingdom. Why is it that we're so willing to sell Jesus short? Why are we so addicted to comfort and convenience? Why do we so willingly think like human beings do? Why are we not willing to do the hard work to begin to think like God? This is the challenge that we face as disciples. The hard work of dying to self on a daily basis. And we know Peter's story. It wasn't just smooth sailing from here. He had some ups and some downs. It took him quite a while to get on the right page. It's the same for so many of us, where we can go from being the rock to being Satan just like this. The word Satan, the word obstacle, Satan is adversary. The word obstacle, he would have called him a scandal, which is like a stone, a little stone in the pathway that causes me to stumble as I'm trying to go about my way. We try to stumble Jesus on his journey in order to maintain our comfort, our convenience. We seek to avoid the difficult things. So Jeremiah was doing in the first reading. Jeremiah is a wonderful story. He's very human in his approach and his response to God's call. He's the one who was consecrated in his mother's womb, called from a young age. He's the one who said, I don't want to be your prophet. I'm too young. Find somebody else. I don't know how to speak. Find somebody else. The Lord said, no, you're the one. Don't say that you're too young. And don't say you don't have the words, because I will give you the word. And here's the word, now go. Go tell your friends and your family members, basically, that they're going to hell. That they've been unfaithful to the covenant. That they've practiced idolatry and infidelity to such an extent that they're about to lose their land, go into slavery, and be lost forever. Go tell them. How do you think that worked out for Jeremiah? Have you ever tried to correct someone in your family? Have you ever tried to tell your spouse that they're not doing the right thing, or your children? Have you ever been met with resistance? That's what happened to Jeremiah. Derision and ridicule, beaten, ostracized, left for dead, thrown down into a well. And eventually he was killed simply for being faithful to God. Are we willing? Are we willing to endure the cross that comes our way by being faithful to the mission God has given us? Are we willing to stick our neck out in order to call someone out who we know is doing the wrong thing? If you had the medicine to cure someone's illness and you didn't give it to them, how cruel would you be? You might even be put into jail in our country. We have the medicine for salvation. Why are we so reluctant to give it? Because we're willing to let them die in their sins so that we can be included in their parties, so that we can stay on their good side and have a good reputation. We don't want to risk being canceled or being left out. We'd rather just go along to get along, rather than to stay faithful to Jesus. And this is what Jeremiah said tonight. You duped me, O Lord. You deceived me. One translation says, you seduced me. You whispered sweet nothings into my ear, and you drew me over here, and now look at me. I've got no friends. My family hates me. I'm left for dead. You duped me, O Lord. Have you ever felt that way? That it's not worth it? That the pain and the misery, the rejection, the being reviled, it's just not worth it. So Jeremiah said, he said, I quit. I'm not doing it anymore. I refuse to speak your name, Lord. I don't care. But then what did it say happened? It became a fire inside of him where he couldn't be quiet about it. And this should be the reality for each one of us. Because at our baptism, regardless of how old we were when that happened, we became a prophet. And we were given the same message to go out to the world to save them from the darkness of their sin, regardless of any rejection or ridicule we may face. And we too, like Jeremiah, must go out. And if we truly have encountered Jesus, if we truly have had that life-changing encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ, it should be a fire within us. We should not be able to be quiet about Jesus. Think about all the things that we go to the ends of the world to proclaim, to promote, to endorse, to support. Would we do any of that for Jesus? This is the challenge before us today. But so often, like St. Peter, we're caught in our human mindset, thinking naturally, like logistics and calculus, and how can I get ahead? Trying to promote myself and increase my portfolio. We haven't heard well the exhortation from St. Paul in the second reading to Romans chapter 12. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Do not be conformed to this age. He was writing 2,000 years ago, and he's writing to us again today. Do not be conformed to this age. This age of, well, God just wants me to be happy. God just wants me to be nice. Give me a good mental health and give me a good life and I'll be healthy and I'll be wealthy and I'll just be happy. That's what God wants from me. That's a lie from the culture. That has nothing to do with the gospel. Will you be happy? Will you be rich? Maybe, but not because you said yes to Jesus. You have to die to yourself and take up your cross to be a disciple. Not very healthy, not very wealthy. That's not the prosperity gospel. Not always an easy message to preach nor to hear. And just like the friends of Jeremiah, we'd rather shut up the message most of the times. Just say something nice, Father. Make me feel good for the week, and I'll come back next week, and you can give me some more good low words. Have we been conformed to this age, or have we been transformed by the gospel? Because once we've been transformed by the gospel, St. Paul says, then we can discern God's will. Then we can know what is good and pleasing and perfect. Oftentimes, we try to do that first and then look for God's rubber stamp so we can go along our merry way. This is contrary to the invitation of Jesus today. Jesus said, I must go to Jerusalem. I must be killed so that I can rise on the third day, so that I can be raised to new life. And this is the promise for each one of us. As difficult and as challenging as this message often is, it's the only message of freedom. It's the only message of life. So ask for that grace to be transformed. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to be transformed in your mind, to be transformed by the life-saving message of Jesus Christ. Be willing to take up your cross. Be willing to deny yourself so that you can follow Jesus. Because that's what he told Peter. When he said, get behind me, he's not discarding him. He's not changing his plan. He's reminding Peter what the first call was, to follow me. Peter, you're trying to lead, but you've been called to follow. Get behind me. Get behind me and let me show you the way. Yes, I'm taking you to Calvary, but that doesn't end there. It ends with the empty tomb on Easter Sunday. So be transformed, my brothers and sisters, I urge you. Radically surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Be willing to die to yourself. Lose your life for his sake. It's the only way to eternal life. It's the only way that we can ever have life, is if we die. Die to ourselves so that Christ can live in us. Amen.